Center, and I'm filling in for my colleague Autumn Saxon Ross, who couldn't be here. So I'm going to try to do as well as Autumn would have done. Our disclaimer, as Nicolette said, this is entirely my viewpoint and does not reflect the viewpoint of CDC or the Joint Center. At the Joint Center, we do a lot of work on the relationship between place, race, and health, trying to describe the geography of health. And so a lot of the work that we do looks at the relationship between spaces and places where people live, the role of residential segregation as a key driver of racial and ethnic health inequities. So our work through CDC Reach has tried to harness social media to build support for health equity initiatives, to educate people about the relationship between place, race, and health, and to share information to build social networks within our communities. I'm going to provide examples of how Place Matters teams use social media to communicate to specific audiences and hopefully begin to build this work with a range of other partners. So we know that there is a geography of health. I understand this is going to be the theme of next year's APHA conference. The spaces and places where people live, work, and play powerfully shape our health and life opportunities. We know that the spaces where people of color tend to live, tend to work, have a disproportionate cluster of health risks, whether we're talking about communities that are overrun with fast food restaurants, convenience stores, carryout stores selling high-fat, high-sodium, high-sugar products, but they also have a relative lack of health-enhancing resources, such as access to fresh produce. And this is the case in many of the Place Matters communities where we work, and I'll say more about Place Matters as an initiative shortly. So when we look at chronic diseases, and in our case, through CDC Reach, we're looking at infant mortality, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes, we're looking very closely at the relationship between food systems and health, the relationship between poverty concentration and stress, the relationship between crime and violence, and the ability to exercise. All of these factors, of course, are attributes of neighborhoods and spaces and workplaces that powerfully shape all of those chronic diseases. We know that segregation plays a very, very key role. It's a root driver of the racial and ethnic health inequities that we see, as David Williams would say. We know that relative to more advantaged communities, low-income and racially segregated neighborhoods have fewer primary care and specialty health care providers. It's harder to access care. In addition to the financial barriers, there are geographic barriers. There's less access to fresh produce, safe spaces for play and exercise, as I said. Higher exposure to unhealthful products. It's not just food. It's the array of environmental risk factors that communities are exposed to. And so there's abundant evidence that highly segregated communities of color are exposed to a range of environmental health risks in addition to the array of problems associated with poverty concentration. There is higher exposure to environmental degradation, polluting industries, and often we see that opportunity structures for socioeconomic advancement are limited in highly segregated communities, characterized by poorer public schools, schools that are less well prepared to train students and prepare them for higher education, fewer employment opportunities, and smaller returns on real estate. These are all aspects of neighborhoods that affect our socioeconomic mobility, and we've known for decades, really, that highly segregated communities often lack opportunity structures, which constrains economic mobility, and of course, your economic status, your socioeconomic status is a major determinant of your health status. The Place Matters initiative has been operating for about 7 years now. It began in 2006. Our goal is to build the capacity of local leaders to address the social, economic, and environmental conditions that shape health. We engage with communities to help them build their own existing leadership and build upon sources of strength and resiliency. They're better able to express their specific concerns and issues and talk to elected officials and others about strategies to help address them. So we're trying to inform efforts by harnessing data, for example. We done research to show the geographic distribution of health, mapping, for example, life expectancy or infant mortality by census tract or zip code, and we see dramatic differences across these census tracts and zip codes. Our goal is to build a national learning community of practice to accelerate successful applications. We're now working in 27 jurisdictions, 19 Place Matters teams, I've got to update this slide. There are now four teams in New Mexico, some in rural and tribal communities. There are other rural communities such as the Central Valley, San Joaquin Valley in California, the Mississippi Delta, and also several urban areas, Rust Belt cities, for example, like Cleveland or Detroit. There's a team here in Boston and other teams around the country. Our model is an intersection of health, place, and equity, where we consider the many characteristics of neighborhoods, such as access to health care, access to healthy food, the quality of housing, and our goal is to show the relationship between the environment and health with a particular focus on policies that promote equity, that ensure that every community has an equitable opportunity to be healthy. We're making significant progress in terms of our ability to identify key social determinants, to build multi-sector coalitions, to engage key stakeholders, and to evaluate our practices. So social media, of course, becomes an important communication tool for all of us, and we know this from past political campaigns. The power of social media to reach and mobilize target audiences is important. So we've tried to use Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, other social media tools to share information, build social networks, and to help other communities that are wrestling with some of the same concerns. Social media, our media for social interaction, we all use it. This is not new, but the using it in an intentional way to advance health equity strategies for us is what we're trying to demonstrate through this work by creating and engaging communities around issues and helping the affected communities that we're working with to use these tools to elevate their voices in the conversation. So there are obviously a lot of different tools that groups can use. We've tended to focus on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, but there are others, and people far younger than me are probably more up to date on things like Flickr, Ning, LinkedIn, and others. We are working with two teams, our Baltimore City team and our Bernalillo County team, which is in New Mexico, to help them with specific social media strategies. As I mentioned, we focus on Twitter, Facebook, blogs, and YouTube because we find that that's the most effective and easiest way to help these teams share information and begin to communicate about the work that they're doing. Facebook, obviously, has been important to develop those social networks, expand the reach that we have, and to target specific audiences. And so our team in Bernalillo County, for example, in September 2013 had 409 posts, 223 likes. We're trying to increase the number of likes and posts that we have. This is an example of their Facebook page and the kinds of information that they're sharing. Our Baltimore team in September 2013 had 158 likes and 296 posts. Again, the goal is to increase the number of likes and the number of posts so that we're quickly and rapidly sharing information. And this is all in just in this month. Twitter obviously has been a very, very powerful tool. Almost all of us tweet these days. It's for finding friends and developing networks. We're using posts with hashtags, sharing pictures and video. So it's important for our teams to tweet and retweet to share their information. Our Bernalillo County team in September had 115 followers and 754 tweets. The Baltimore team had 330 followers and over 1,400 tweets in September of 2013. Finally, all of our teams are harnessing video. Often the video content, the footage that the teams develop is footage that is generated by community members, often engaging youth to describe conditions in their community so that they can share this information widely. Here's an example of a video that we have called This is Place Matters. This was generated by the Joint Center, but our teams are using this video to help explain what it is that we do. And this is our Bernalillo County team's website, where all of this comes together in terms of blogs, the ability to access video, the ability to quickly access the team's Facebook page and tweets. And so they're using other customized tools, such as mapping tools. We use a tool called Map for Change, which allows us to use a Google Map platform to document the geographic distribution of health risks and health resources and their relationship to patterns of segregation in the community. So we can show demographic data showing who lives where and the physical separation that we often see. For example, in Bernalillo County, there are several census tracts that are overwhelmingly low-income Latino communities that are physically separated from wealthier, whiter communities. Same is true in Boston. So using these mapping tools, we can show the geographic distribution of health and how it relates to patterns of segregation. So let me just conclude with a quote that I like because it really gets at the core of our Place Matters work. This is from the WHO Commission on the Social Determinants of Health. They wrote that inequities in health and avoidable health inequalities arise because of the circumstances in which people grow, live, work, and age, and the systems put in place to deal with illness. The conditions in which people live and die are in turn shaped by political, social, and economic forces. So obviously, place is but one frame, one lens through which to get at the fact that these are problems created by people and policies, and in the same fashion, we believe that we can undo policies that disproportionately hurt communities of color. Thank you.